T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
With you another hour, Julia DeCaro. Her show starts at 10. She'll drop by for transition around 9:45. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. We left off with Devin Hester and his candidacy, which will happen in 2022, and whether or not he's the next bear to go in after Jimbo Covert. And I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Now, as far as the 80s bears, are we done? Covert, Dent, Hampton, Singletary. If you want to count Dicka, that's fine. But I think we're probably done. For a team that had one championship, three players on defense, I don't know that you're going to add any more. I do wish that Wilbur Marshall would have finished his career with the Bears and may have been the best linebacker. Maybe. Sorry, Singletary. For that team, I think he may have been. So Olin Krutz, of course, a teammate. Lance Briggs, I've done multiple shows with him, also a teammate here on The Score. And Charles Tillman. Here's the hard part with those guys. Each of them were all pro once. And when you talk to Olin about this stuff and you say Pro Bowl, the first thing he's going to say is, how many times are you an alternate? Are you a real Pro Bowl? He says it's all about the all pro. He's the first to tell you that. Charles Tillman, 38 interceptions, 44 forced fumbles. Is Peanut's impact on that great Bears D throughout the Lovie Smith era, did he make more of an impact being on the field more? And I just mentioned all those takeaways, and Hester had 19 return touchdowns. Is that a greater impact than what Hester did on special teams? Adam Sadzinski, what do you think?
Ugh. That's
isn't tough. Isn't that hard? Because Tillman is on the field so much more. You go against the top receivers. We saw him do a good job on Megatron in his prime throughout his entire career. Games were flipped with the turnovers. That's what Lovie Smith's defense was built on. It's so funny because if we fast forward to the NFL today, one of the reasons I thought the Bears wouldn't be that strong, I was thinking 8-9 wins, and that's where they wound up. But one of the biggest reasons was because of the turnover regression. But if you look at those Lovie Smith defenses year after year, there wasn't turnover regression. It never happened because of guys like Peanut.
There was because of guys like him, and I think just in general because of the way Lovie Smith coached. He was all about the takeaways. It was like his number one thing.
Urlacher's presence. And
yeah,
helps.
plus you know, Brian Urlacher.
Generational.
Yeah, you
talent.
could go down the list also, yeah, and some of those guys they had. But man, yeah. Peanut, that's so difficult to say because I don't think teams were necessarily, I'm sure they talked a lot about ball security going into a game against Peanut, but he wasn't a cornerback that you were just terrified to throw against. Like,
you know,
Revis, you weren't throwing at him.
Yes. See, that's the problem. You know? Was he ever one of those, quote, lockdown guys?
And that wasn't his style anyway.
No.
Like, he didn't really just play that lockdown style, which is why that leads me to say, like, Devin Hester, it was either you don't kick to him, or you're kicking on the sideline.
If you do kick to him, you're stupid.
Yeah. But you're not kicking to him. That's the last thing you're doing. You are not kicking. You had to have all these game planning on special teams, probably spending more time game planning for punting and kicking and for punt coverage and kick coverage than you would against any other team. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do that against Peanut. I'm sure they talked about ball security. It's like, you know, because he's going to be punching the ball a lot. So you're probably preaching to your running backs and receivers, like, you know, ball security, but it's not the same as with Hester. It was like, yeah, just don't deal with this guy. Like, don't give him the ball in any circumstances. Or like you would with Darrell Revis, it's like, yeah, we're not throwing at him.
Mm-hmm. Like, Josh Norman in his prime.
Yeah, Josh, yeah, on all, you know, some of the like you guys like Ty Law. It's like, we're just not going to throw at him.
How many Pro Bowls Tillman made?
One, right?
Two. Pro Bowls. I'm not saying all pro.
That first one, right, was like that 2011 season when he had that absurd forced fumble line. He had like the one year he had 4-1 game.
And peanut punch shirts are going everywhere around this town. I don't think he's getting in.
I tend to agree with you, which is unfortunate because like as a Bears fan, you saw his whole career. It's like the rest of the, like, you also have to think about these guys in the context of how the rest of the league views him.
Okay. Was he the second best player on the defense?
Absolutely. I think, well,
which
depending
defense?
On, yeah, which
like
defense.
When Peppers was there?
When Peppers was there, no. Yeah. Or even like that 2006 defense, I would make an argument for it's the second best player on that defense was either Tommy Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Or probably
it
Tommy
was short lived, but. When he was healthy, forget about it.
Oh yeah,
game wrecker.
He was unbelievable when he was healthy.
Yeah,
but so yeah, I guess it depends on which defense you're talking about. Like that 2011 season year, he had all the fumbles. I might be getting that wrong. 2010, 2011.
Right. I know what you're saying. Though.
Year he was the second best player.
He had 44 forced fumbles, 38 interceptions in his career.
I mean, the fact that he is a cornerback and he had more forced fumbles than interceptions. And still had a bunch of interceptions is pretty absurd.
Well, here's the thing we're not talking about. Maybe there isn't a next. They have so many Hall of Famers. The conversation naturally moves, okay, which guy's next? And there's Hester, but after Hester, is there somebody? I mean, Lance was awesome. But what are they going to say in the room? What's the first thing they're going to say?
Brian Urlacher
and... Yeah, they had a great defense. They made the Super Bowl once. And sure, we all know it's because of the quarterback. They couldn't do anything offensively, and it's kind of what Lovie Smith wanted. Rex is our quarterback. But how do you do that? Guys that play next to each other, you've got to be so good to be that second guy. And then you probably have to go somewhere else and prove that you could also be the man. I mean, that's the kind of conversations they're going
to
have.
And to Lance's credit, he was also really good when Urlacher was hurt. So he still was a standout player when Urlacher wasn't on the
when
field.
When he had to call the signals.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was his rookie year for at least a period of time Urlacher was hurt and Briggs was thrown into the fire and had to call the plays and was still pretty good.
Right.
So it's not that he wasn't a good player without Urlacher, but again, you have to... We know all this as Bears fans because we cover the team and we watch all these games religiously. The rest of the nation doesn't. They don't necessarily think about those things. They only know the small snippets that you see him. So that's why a guy like Urlacher was talked about throughout the league as one of the best linebackers and was at the best or the second best linebacker in the league for a period of his career. Was Briggs ever that?
There has to be a time, and I know he wasn't asked to do this, but he had 15 career sacks. There has to be a time, I think, and it's not baseball, because the career length is very different. But was there a period of time, maybe a few years, where you considered the best at your craft? Were you top three guy? See, that's the argument with Hester. Game plan. Talked about you all week. We need to avoid this guy. But if it's not Hester, I don't know where it is. And kind of brings us to the Bears over the last couple of head coaches, just how awful they were. And that's why it was a big deal in this city when you realized that Kyle Long wasn't going to be here anymore. No, he's not a Hall of Famer. We all know that. But there was a time when he was the best Bear. And how embarrassing is that? 312-644-6767. All right, a little bit ago, I was just talking about these new Bears coaches. On the offensive side, Lazor, Castillo, DeFilippo, Ragone stays. He gets the bump up. I found this interesting conversation. Ross Tucker, he hosts Home and Home on Radio.com Sports. Sometimes I'm doing You Better You Bet 2 to 3 times per week on Radio.com Sports app. But he was on the Mullion Haw Show, and he has some ties to these new Bears hires. Take a listen.
Well, he was the quarterback coach, but also integral with the game plan with Frank Reich and Doug Peterson in 2017 when they won the Super Bowl. And that's the year, if you remember, that Carson Wentz was able to be the MVP of the league until he got hurt. I mean, I think everybody thinks he was going to be the MVP until he got hurt in December against the LA Rams. And so what people in Philadelphia talk about is that it feels like Wentz's mechanics haven't been as good, haven't been the same since then. You know, when you watch him, he'll throw off his back foot. He won't protect the football as well. His feet won't be set. That was not the case with DeFilippo. You know, DeFilippo is really known as being a stickler for quarterback mechanics. And it's kind of crazy because yesterday I was on WIP in Philadelphia and they have an offensive coordinator vacancy. And they said, Ross, do you want DeFilippo back? I said, yeah. I said, I don't know if he necessarily has to be the offensive coordinator, but Carson Wentz clearly played his best football with DeFilippo as his everyday quarterback coach. So for the Bears to get him to work with Trubisky and or maybe somebody else, I think is a huge positive for the Bears. I mean, whatever Trubisky can be, even if DeFilippo hasn't had as much success as a coordinator, pretty much everybody sings his praises as a quarterback coach, and he'll be working with Trubisky every single day because sometimes Trubisky has mechanical issues as well.
Interesting. You know, there's a feeling that they've, you know, they signed a lot of guys that were kind of out of work that he was recently fired. The three guys they got earlier, Juan Castillo, who maybe you know him from Philly. He was the defensive coordinator. What? Also, obviously, they signed Barone as the tight ends coach and Bill Lazor as the offensive coordinator. They were all off for a year. And DeFilippo at least comes here from recency in the league.
Yeah, it's funny. I know like all those guys. Yeah. I mean, Lazor was the quarterback coach my last year in the NFL with the Redskins in 2007. He's very bright. He actually did a lot of consulting work for Penn State last year in his year off. We mentioned DeFilippo. Castillo, that one surprised me. I think Harry Hiestand is an excellent offensive line coach. I was really surprised three of the five guys on the first team All-Pro team played for Harry Hiestand in college. I mean, I was really surprised by that one. But the other ones, I think, are good hires. And I think there's value in Lazor having been at the college game and all the RPO stuff, you know, that Penn State did last year. And as for DeFilippo, I don't know why the Jags got rid of him. I mean, I thought he did a pretty darn good job with Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gardner Minshew put up nice numbers for a rookie sixth-round pick. I don't know if it was a personality conflict or what, but I thought that was weird.
Good stuff this morning with Ross Tucker here on 670 The Score with the Mully and Haas Show. My name is Joe Ostrowski. You've got 670 The Score. Julie DeCaro Show starts at 10 o'clock. 312-644-6767. Joe in Schaumburg, what's on your mind, my man?
Joe, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on. Just wanted to chime in on the Devin Hester thing.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be the next one to get in, and it might be for a while, like you guys are saying, and only because a few things. He made such an impact. If you remember, the only other guys that are kind of in that area, you really have to do some research on. He came up in the social media age. You can go on the internet and see any Devin Hester highlight, and they're all ridiculous. I remember making a point that he was like the only guy in Madden at like a 99 speed, you know, just that type of impact, and everyone else is trying to find him. I mean, the next guy I can think of is maybe like Dante Hall, and that's about it.
Right.
And Brian Mitchell, that memorable moment in the Super Bowl, you know, he just redefined that position. And I think that's the type of guy that deserves to get in.
No question. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. South Holland we go. Hello, Daryl.
Hello. Real quick, Bears potential Hall of Famers in order. 1, Devin Hester. 2, Olin Krutz. 3, Lance Briggs. 4, Peanut Tillman. 5, Matt Forte. And 6, with the possible Robbie Gold.
Oh, stop. Robbie Gold.
Why not?
Wait, why is the real question?
He didn't miss.
I mean, they're just...
He didn't miss. I'm still here. He didn't miss.
They're just starting to let... Listen, if we want to go and say, you got to get more special teamers, not just Ray Guy, and he was up for a long, long time before they finally let him in, let's have the Hester conversation. We don't need to run to Gold.
And here's the thing about Gold. Robbie Gold, look, he's great kicker. He's one of the best kickers in the last 20 years in the NFL, but the best kicker... of this generation of kickers is Justin Tucker, right?
Yeah.
So after Adam Vinatieri is Justin Tucker. So if he's falling second, third in line of his own position, then as a kicker, nah.
What about Janikowski too?
Polish. He's a legend.
Polish.
We gotta get more. We gotta get him in there.
Gostkowski. There's another one.
Are we forget? He brought a Forte. I mean, here's the thing. I'm looking at his best year in 2013, and he was second in rushing. Only LeSean McCoy had more. He was on a terrible offense. Terrible. So I like the stat yards per play, and I was looking at the Bears and how bad it was this season, and then I start going back. I'm like, man, when's the last time the yards per play was this bad? They were 31st this year in the league. And... there's a string of a bunch of years when it was that bad before Cutler got here. Those lovey offenses. Matt Forte was part of that. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that he was never on a good offense. I know he did so much for this team, but also, when was he a top two back in the league? Top three back? Was there a season?
That's the argument that is unfortunate about Forte.
Yeah. It's not his fault. I'm just saying.
He was as good as he was really good. He was a really good NFL running back for a long time on a bad offense.
And on the field. Available. Oh,
yes. And almost never missed games. Was a utility back. Could do anything you wanted him to. I think it might have been that 2013 year.
Give me Matt Forte on this offense.
Oh, man. That would be amazing, right? Yes. It'd be the same thing with Cutler, right? I've thought about this so much this past season. Imagine what Jay Cutler and Matt Forte, even with Nagy's play calling, imagine what they could do.
Well, because Jay would give him the middle finger and say, no, we're going to run this.
He just audible at the line of scrimmage.
If it's just like, yeah, whatever you want, coach.
But yeah, anyway, the point I'm getting at to Matt Forte is he's a guy that is he's in the hall of really good. He's a great player, all-time great Bear.
A lot of these guys are in the Hall of Really Good,
yes,
right?
Yes, but he was never the best running back in the league, never led the league in rushing. He did for a period, I think, before Christian McCaffrey broke it the last 2 years. I think he set the record for receptions by a running back in a season. I believe he did have that for like two seasons before McCaffrey broke it.
Matt Forte, never an All-Pro, made two Pro Bowls, but he had a really good 6 to 7 year run. But what happens when you turn 30 as a running back in this league and you get as many touches as he got? Like, he would never get that many touches now either. They don't do that to running backs. They usually go with two guys.
Unless your name is Christian McCaffrey.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, he's the outlier there.
There was the one season with Forte. I'm not going to be able to remember what year it was, but I remember seeing a graphic. It might have been that 2013 year where his touch percentage within the Bears offense was over 50%, and it's like compared to other running backs in the league, it was absurd. Like, he touched the ball like more, he was more than 50% of the Bears offense per touch, and no one else was even close to that percentage mark. That's just a weird, absurd, like, outlying stat, like, just showing you there was no other players in that offense. He was the guy, and he still managed to put up some numbers, so that gives him some credit right there. But again, even if he had been on a good team his whole career,
they didn't score points.
Yeah, and it's like, let's put him in a great offense his whole career. He wouldn't be as good as guys like Adrian Peterson or some of the other guys that have been
Sean
there.
Alexander, LeSean McCoy in his prime in those years, sure. Games played, 16, 16, 16, 12, 15, 16, 16. I mean, that doesn't happen with running backs. You don't see that. Good stuff there. Yeah, but if he was on offense and actually scored some points, maybe he'd have a shot there, but I don't think he has much of a shot. 312-644-6767. Continue to take your calls. Also, we were talking earlier about this cheating scandal going on in baseball. Sure, Jessica Mendoza had to say. We'll hit that next. Joe Osho on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We get to Jessica Mendoza coming under fire today for some pretty good reason. We'll play the audio to explain that one. Let's go to our guy, David Spada, in Wakanda. David, you're on 670, The Score.
How you doing, Joe?
Been too long, man. How are you?
Good. I don't know if you mentioned Walter Payton on the 85 Bears, but again, he was another one of the Hall of
Famers. Yeah, I don't even think we need to mention it, but you're right. Yes, of course, Walter.
Here's two other guys. Jay Hildenberg, he was a 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All-Pro.
Yeah, Hilgi's a good one.
Again, I think Pompey could kind of push him through. And another one is Virginia McCaskey. There's no females in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. She's owned the Bears for probably 50 years. And again, I think it would look good. I mean, if they put Paul Tagliavulin in and George Young, why not put in Virginia?
It's interesting. The thing, Kreutz and Hilgenberg, you're right. That's what you run to. You have to look at Pro Bowls and All Pros because it's so hard to judge. But Virginia would be a good one. And I hate it when they make the big push after someone dies. So why not do that right now? That's a pretty good call.
I mean, it's horrible what they're doing to these guys now. I mean, they're waiting until they die. Alex Karras took 60 years. You got Drew Pearson.
Right.
I heard yesterday he had four TV stations sitting in his house. They made him wait for the announcement. He didn't get in. It devastated him.
Yeah. I hate that. Thank you, David. Appreciate the call as always. Let's stay downtown. John, you're on The Score.
Hey, I'll keep this quick because we're up against the clock, I guess. But
you're good.
I just wanted to say, I listened to you guys all the time since about 2000 when I really got into watching the Bears.
Uh-huh.
And to me, it's just not – it feels like I'm in a Twilight Zone, deja vu. It's just I love the guy that right before me mentioned Virginia McCaskey. I think that's a really good point. But this organization from top down, and I don't want to relive everything with everybody and go through the whole timeline, but just think about this. All the different coaches they've hired and all the ineptitude they've had on offense when they had a great defense, mm-hmm. bringing all these coaches for Cutler. Rex is our quarterback. Mitch is our quarterback. Bringing all these guys. I feel like nothing's going to change. These guys aren't hitting on the picks. They got no picks. I mean, I love Mac, but what now, you know? And I feel like they always waste the good opportunity. And I honestly feel from top down, this organization, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. And they missed out on a great opportunity to draft a quarterback that can really change the face of this organization for a lifetime that we can have. Like we talk about, who's going to go next in the Hall of Fame? Look at the gap from 85 Bears to 2006 Bears, 2005, excuse me.
Well, John, that's why I was saying maybe we're all wrong. It's natural to have this conversation, but maybe there isn't a next because there will be people fighting against Devin Hester because he's only involved in 12% of the plays. But that's why I brought up the point, especially over these last couple of regimes since Lovie Smith. It was a joke that an offensive guard was the best player on the team.
Well, not just that, but how about between the 85 Bears and like since Ditka left and like you said, Wilbur Marshall when he left. I mean, like between that period, who did they draft until they drafted Urlacher? Nobody. Yeah. I can't remember. I literally can't remember anybody. You got names. You got a few names here or there. Roosevelt, Colvin, and you know, I can't remember.
Or Coldman, yeah.
You just sit on what wide receivers? You had Mike Brown at safety, but what other safety? Gary Fensick? I mean, I can't name any other safeties that I could say, wow, game changers. You know what I mean?
Well, that was the thing for the last decade, right? Until Eddie Jackson got here and got paid for a good reason. It's because every year they were switching out the two safeties. That was a thing when Lovie Smith was here. I get the frustration. Studs, we got 2.5 hours in. Usually I start ripping on the Bears and you get all mad. But, I think it's been generally, especially coming off Mahomes v. Watson, a very positive Bears show, and that was just for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I just don't want you getting all flustered. I know Chris Dickens is tweeting saying you guys should be fighting. There's no reason for it right now.
We'll save that until July.
Wait, we got Jimbo Covert in the Hall of Fame this week, so what's the point in doing that right now?
Keep it positive.
I mean, yeah, when Ryan Pace is allowed to select the next quarterback, I'm going to get very upset because he should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah. I agree with you. See, that, you agree on that kind of thing. Yeah. What about what he's done so far with the quarterback position makes anyone think he should be allowed to pick the next quarterback?
Dude, and you see Marcus Mariota on the sideline? He looks like a lost soul right now. Like, you're going to bring that guy in because you fell in love with him when he was in Oregon? I hope not. Give me Andy Dalton 10 times over Mariota. I'm worried that that's going to happen. That's going to be the competition. You know, talking to Mo Egger earlier on in Cincinnati, I said, what kind of situations are you looking for? He's like, one where he's going to be the starting quarterback. Like, he's not coming here to be Trubisky's backup. You have to wonder, what are they really going to tell these quarterbacks if they're trying to land someone, a better QB2 or 1/2?
At the very least, I've never been a big Andy Dalton guy, but he has been consistently mediocre. Which
he's a pro.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's consistently been a pro level quarterback.
What did we say going into the season? We said if Trubisky can be average, they've got a chance to win a Super Bowl. Can Andy Dalton be an average quarterback in 2020?
And that
with
is
Allen
why,
Robinson.
That's why, like, look, if they brought him in, that's like, all right, cool. Bring him in. And at the very least, then they'll have competition for the quarterback position. I think Mitch, like, that's just why I don't think it'll be Andy Dalton, because he's not going to come here for a competition.
And Cam won't either.
No, no way. Well, if they go out and get Cam, he's the starter. I don't think you can question that.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be crazy to question that.
Is he healthy? Like, that's...
I guess, yeah.
There were games last year before...
The only reason he wouldn't be the unquestioned starter would be health. But yeah. If he's healthy, he's the guy, right?
You can remove that question.
To a Super Bowl.
Remove that question mark at the end of that sentence. That is not a question. That is a statement. Do not say right question mark.
You're
no,
right.
Cam Newton and Mitchell Trubisky.
No, yeah, there's no competition there.
Yeah.
There isn't. That's why I was saying the only question would be is if Cam is not healthy. If he's not healthy,
even if he's hurt,
I'll take 70% of Cam over Mitch any day.
My point. Yes. Give me hurt Cam. At this stage in his career over Trubisky, I don't care about him not jumping on the ball in the Super Bowl. I don't care.
And that's Mitchell Trubisky. This is something that I wish the Bears would realize this offseason is they still have a chance. They still have a window. If you have to
that's
start,
why it's so frustrating.
You have to start thinking, okay, look, Mitch might be our guy long term still. And you can even say this to Mitch, be like, Mitch, look, we got a chance to win a lot of games. And if we bring in competition, and we view this as a weak point right now. Like, we need to bring in someone to win now.
That's
like, right now.
Studs, like, when people rip on the Bears and they bring up Mahomes and Watson, it's not just being negative all the time. Because our entire lives, this is what it's been. You have a great defense, and you have no offense. Not an average, not a below average, an embarrassingly awful offense. You can't do anything.
And
that's where we were this year again.
And then these times, you see the times that, oh, they actually put together a decent offense. What happens? They go to the NFC Championship. They go to the Super Bowl. Then something bad happens. You know, even that 2006 team, that offense was inconsistent, but when it was good, it was good.
The story all year. Good Rex, bad Rex. Good Rex, bad Rex. What were you going to get?
And Rex, for all his faults, at least he would give you those days where he looked like an MVP.
Ones.
I mean, well, Mitch does the same thing, I guess, but he gave you a full month in September.
He does do the same thing. He is the same thing.
The thing with, I can't believe we were having this conversation. I don't want to go here. It's like the difference between Rex and Mitch right now, first of all, mobility, I guess, that goes to Mitch, but Rex had a legitimately good NFL arm. He just didn't know how to use his brain the whole time.
Now, Trubisky's 2018 was better than anything Grossman ever did, right?
I absolutely agree with that. He was consistent.
It's a different game, too. Like, you have to take that into account. Yeah, that's happening. We're talking about whether or not Mitchell Trubisky's better than Rex Grossman.
That's how long the bar is.
Like, is Allen Robinson, yes, he's better than Musin Muhammad. That's what we're doing.
That's not even a question, though,
I don't want
right?
to do that. No, I don't think so. No, it's not. The best that Moose was in Carolina, how about that?
That's close. Because they're pretty similar, I think, type of receivers. Allen Robinson maybe a little bit quicker.
So where was A-Rob at the end of the year? Like, a lot of this numbers, receiving yards and catches and stuff, they're just outside top 10?
That's a good question.
Somewhere around there. Because I remember when people were up in arms about the Pro Bowl and he didn't get in right away. But yeah, think about some of the studs that are in the game right now. Like what Michael Thomas does on a weekly basis. When Mike Evans is healthy for Tampa Bay. But yeah, no, we've seen it again. History repeating itself. That's why it's so damn frustrating. Khalil Mack is in his prime. And he has zero playoff wins as a Bear. You didn't think that was going to be the case once they made that trade that 2 years later. That'd be happening.
Allen Robinson was, sorry, real quick to get this in
here.
Allen Robinson was seventh in receptions in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he was 14th in yards.
I thought he would be a little higher in the yard. Rattle off the names ahead of him.
In yards?
Yeah.
Okay, so Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Travis Kelce, Devontae Parker is an outlier.
Wow.
Keenan Allen, wow.
Kenny
Galladay, Amari Cooper, DJ Moore, Jarvis Landry, DeAndre Hopkins, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans.
There are some names that I was not expecting to hear there.
Oh, me too. I knew Devontae Parker had a good season, but he was fifth in the league in receiving yards.
How many yards did Galladay have?
Galladay had 1,190, so 1,190.
Without even having Stafford all year.
Yeah, and he had 11 touchdowns. I think he led the league in receiving touchdowns. Yeah, he did. 11.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, I mean, there's no one else to throw to in Detroit. He was the guy.
Yeah, you know, I get it. You can make the same argument about the Bears, though.
Oh, absolutely.
For most of the year, there's no one else to throw to.
So. And Kenny Galladay's a good receiver. Don't get me wrong here. I just surprised to see him that high up.
Yeah, with the elite, or sort of. Do we have time to play the Mendoza? How long is it?
It's a minute.
All right, let's play it right now because I teased it. Here's Jessica Mendoza on ESPN. I guess she was saying this multiple times because she did the car wash or you do all the shows on the network. Here's her earlier today talking about Mike Fiers.
You have a problem with Mike Fiers leaving the Astros, going to another team, and then going public with this?
Going public, yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're with the Oakland A's and you're on another team, I mean, heck yeah, you better be telling your teammates, look, hey, heads up, if you hear some noises when you're pitching, like, this is right. What's going right. on, for sure. But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me. And honestly, it made me sad for the sport that that's how this all got found out. I mean, this wasn't something that MLB naturally investigated or that even other teams complained about because they naturally heard about and then investigations happened. But it came from within. It was a player that was a part of it, that benefited from it during the regular season when he was a part of that team. And that, when I first heard about it, it's just, it hits you like any teammate would, right? It's something that you don't do. I totally get telling your future teammates, helping them win, letting people know. But to go public with it and call them out and start all of this, it's hard to swallow.
Oh, let's let that breathe for a moment.
What?
Seriously? So,
it's tone deaf.
Oh my God. And she's someone with a national platform selling the game.
It just, what I was thinking earlier, it's not something you even have to say. Even if that's your opinion, don't say it. You're playing yourself. Like, what are you doing?
I read it. I just didn't hear the comments. It's worse after hearing it.
Because she keeps doubling down. Like, she says it and then explains it and then says it again.
Mets employee, they fired Carlos Beltran today. They'll say mutually parted ways, but it was a firing. He was begging to keep his job, said he could take the heat, and the Mets said, no, you're out of here. So remember that. She's a Mets employee. So nobody should have been punished. Let's keep it quiet. Let's continue to cheat, because baseball's always been cheating, so it's okay. Mike Fiers is the hero in this whole thing. He's the one that you can't criticize, and she criticized her. Him, sorry. Jesus. If you're not a fan of Mendoza's work before, can't imagine that you are right now. I didn't see anyone coming to her defense today for good reason. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves will wear special military appreciation jerseys on January 18th and 19th. They will be auctioned and raffled to help the USO Honor Flight and K-9 for veterans. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Julie DeCaro will join me for Transition next. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score. It won't be May at the top of the hour. Julie DeCaro's going to be here. Hey, it's Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Julie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. What a day!
Explain your girl.
So excited.
Jessica Mendoza.
Well,
defend your girl.
We all have bad takes every now and then. That was a really, really bad one.
Wasn't it the
really
worst
bad take?
And, well, first off, I think there's a problem with her being employed by the Mets and having that position.
I agree.
And then,
I've talked about it before. I talked about it with David Ross being on there and being with the Cubs. And I'm like, if I was another team, I wouldn't even let him in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's an issue. Yeah. And that's something we're definitely going to talk about on my show. But, you know, I think at heart, she's a player. And I think that there's probably a lot of players who do feel the way she does that were sort of like, everyone's doing it. Why do you have to snitch? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's guys out there with that attitude.
Stud says snitches get stitches.
That's exactly right. I heard it from Peyton Manning.
It's the law of the playground.
Yeah. I'll kill a snitch. I don't know. It was really weird. I was really surprised because to me, Mike Fiers has put his name on the line to clean up the game. I mean, this is the worst scandal since the Black Sox.
I'm a fan.
I am too.
I'm a fan for that, for what he did.
And not only that, to say that, you know, like you should have gone to your team. Well, guess what? A whole bunch of people knew what was happening in Houston and didn't do anything about it. So how do you even know your team's going to do anything?
Just the cloud. The tentacles to this are just ridiculous. Like, we've talked a lot about Yu Darvish on the station and some of the other teams. Maybe Joe Girardi's still the manager of the Yankees. Who knows? But here we are again. We were there with the steroid era when we had a year in which nobody made the Hall of Fame, but we're going to be here again because everyone associated with that Astros organization moving forward, you're going to question. When Altuve is long retired and he's up, people are going to talk about him.
Yep.
People talk about Justin Verlander the way they talk about Barry Bonds.
Good.
Before
Stand Verlander.
Before the PEDs, he was great. He didn't have to do it. He's a Hall of Famer anyways. But now what's happening? I shouldn't say nobody, but they're not voting him in. So is that going to be the case again with Verlander?
I mean, just think of all the times that Verlander has been so indignant on social media. He knew he had to know his team was doing this.
Trevor Bauer, he's also my favorite.
Yeah, well,
it's hard to say.
I mean, Trevor Bauer is a bad human, but on this, he's right.
He's been
right on this
telling
all along.
People. He's been telling you about what they're doing with that organization there. Another question for you. Mm. Wait, so I saw you tweet about this. Which show were you mad about is maybe not returning?
Mindhunter.
Yeah, I watched the first season. How many seasons are out?
Two.
Okay, so I don't think I got through the second season
yet. So today we got the bad news about Watchmen that's not coming back, which is okay because the first season was so good. It's close to a perfect season.
It's only one season?
It's only one season.
And it's not coming back?
Nope.
Well, so why should I even watch it?
Because it's worth it.
What I said.
That 1 year?
What am I watching for 1 year?
Yeah.
Is there a cliffhanger ending?
Think of it as a miniseries.
Is there a cliffhanger ending?
Yes.
All right, then no, I'm not watching.
How many episodes?
It's going to be like Freaks and Geeks where I watch it and then I'm unsatisfied because there's no damn ending to the show.
I know what that's all about.
Joe's just got caught up on The Office.
Unsatisfied at the end. It's my life. Okay, my wife is making fun of me for this. I want to see if you will.
Okay.
I am the show I'm binging now. I'm past The Office, Julie. It's something much more recent. There's only two seasons of this show.
Okay.
She was laughing at me because I was trying to strike up a conversation because she was into the show.
2 years ago?
No, this year. Like at Christmas break, we were at a party and everybody was talking about this show. I'm like, I've got to watch this show. Okay. I mean, can it possibly be this good?
Okay, hit me.
I just started season two of You.
Oh. Is that a stalker show? Is it a show about a stalker?
Yes. You didn't watch it?
I haven't watched it.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like there's a list of like, you know, 80 things I'm supposed to be watching so that I can be cool.
I'm with you. And I saw two seasons. I can get through this one pretty quick. And
is it young adultish? It strikes me as like Gossip Girl kind of thing.
I believe one of the main actor was in Gossip Girl. So my girlfriend kept laughing at me. She's like, I'm my girlfriend.
Oh,
my wife.
Whoa.
Wait, was it my wife or my girlfriend?
Cut that. Everyone is spilling their tea today.
No, I was thinking about the show for a second.
Of course you were, buddy.
I think I called her girlfriend earlier today, too.
How many of you guys been married?
Wow.
What? How many of you guys been married? Like, what? I'm just thinking about how that, like, could just slip out all of a sudden.
8.5 years?
All right. Is it safe to assume you've been married longer than you were dating before being married?
When I was talking with Mo Egger about it, because I lived in Cincinnati for a short time, we had a guest on from Cincinnati, and I mentioned I was in Cincinnati because of a girl at the time, so I don't know why I went back to girlfriending again. But anyways, maybe because I was thinking about the show. Yeah, maybe that's it. Anyways, I think season one was on Lifetime,
okay, and
then Netflix picked it up for season two. And I've only watched one episode of season two, so I don't know if it's better.
I haven't watched it.
I've heard it's a lot better.
I need a new show. Well, The Stranger is starting.
I'm not watching Watchmen. 1 year. I'm out.
Fine.
I'm done.
I don't care if you watch
it. Okay, what else do I need to put on the list?
All right. Well, you should definitely watch season two of Mindhunter. It's very good.
I don't remember where I left off, but okay.
I started Project Blue Book.
So wait. So what happened? They don't know if they're going to do a season three?
Right. It's on indefinite hiatus.
Okay, I got it. You know, I have invested some time, so I'll finish it. I'll watch the show.
With your girlfriend?
I'll watch season two. No, she didn't watch this with me. I'll watch season two, but if I'm studs, I'm probably not watching if I know it's 2 years.
Probably not. And he'll be missing out because it is David Fincher who does the greatest true crime stuff ever. He did Zodiac.
Pass.
No, not pass.
All right, what
studs
else is
the worst?
What else is on the list?
suck,
hey, you know what? At least with Studs and Orlovsky tonight, you're not going to have Sean Anderson and Chris Dickens arguing with each other and saying how they hate each other on the air.
They literally stopped talking to each other the other
Dude,
night.
That was like, so strange.
They're both sitting here staring straight ahead, not speaking to each other.
Like, it was a breakthrough moment at the therapist's office. Get on the couch.
What was that?
Sean Anderson legit, it was like last Thursday, he legit turned to him, Chris Dickens, on the air and said, this is why I don't like you.
They were fighting over Star Wars, and 15 minutes later, they weren't speaking to each other, and we had to do the rest of the show with them not talking to each other.
Were they fighting over Star Wars, or were they fighting because there's some friction there?
I think Sean felt that his Star Wars opinions were disrespected.
Put some respect on him.
So uncivilized.
Put some respect on Sean Anderson's, the phenom's
I mean,
Star Wars
I don't know
opinions.
What they do back there. I just try to do the show and just get through it.
But I was finishing up something I was recording. I turned it on and then I hear them fighting on the air. I'm like, that's real.
That's the way it goes.
Sometimes it's a show and sometimes that was not a show.
Closer we get to midnight, the worse things go off the rails. So,
really?
Yeah.
Is it because Robert's about to walk in and just throw your stuff all over the place?
And that's garbage, too.
Or is it because of the producers? If you get loopy once after you're producing like 6 hours.
That's true.
I get that.
That's true.
What's happening on the show tonight?
Tony and Jackie's going to be here. We're going to get ready for a Cubs convention, but we're going to do a ton of MLB stuff because I had the best day today. It was so much fun.
Just tracking everything.
It's like the best day since DeAndre Jordan got held captive by the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, usually, I was thinking about that, it's usually NBA drama.
Right.
We don't have drama in baseball. There's a lot today.
Tommy Pham was weighing in. It was great.
You know what? There's going to be more. Because now that it's all out there, the whistleblower, Mike Fiers, he went forward with this. Yeah. Like, everybody knows. Like, we're slowly going to get more and more information. It's going to be fun. And who knows? Like, maybe there's stuff in the Astros locker room on phones that people don't want out there that will be out there.
I don't know.
It'll be fun.
I just think the story about being too shy to rip your jersey off is baloney.
So when Altuve is running third base, the video that's floating around, you're saying that there's nothing there, there's no buzzer?
I don't know if there's anything there, but he said he wouldn't take it off because he was shy.
Oh,
which I was like,
yeah.
Come on, dude.
Ridiculous. I know you're going to be there this weekend.
Yes.
But don't you feel like there's zero buzz for Cubs convention?
Well, there's angry buzz. I mean, there's that.
The ownership won't be speaking, it sounds like.
Right. So I can't wait for everyone there to unload on the flagship station.
But
it's
will
be a great time.
Will they? Because you know the people that show up for Cubs convention, like they're very positive people.
Yes. I don't know. I said this earlier, we were talking about this on the podcast, and I said, do you really think the people that go to CubsCon are the angry people?
No.
And Brad said,
so.
Brad Robinson said, yeah. He's like, at this time, I think so. So I don't know. We'll see.
Now those are the people paying a lot of money for season tickets too. So possibly.
That's true.
Possibly. And I wouldn't fault them if they were angry.
You know, Houston's Fan Fest is tomorrow, too.
Oh, boy. Hey, did you see Anthony Rizzo said 100% the Cubs have never, ever cheated?
Yes.
Wondering if that will come back to haunt them at some point. And David Ross is our World Series ready
team. I'll tell you what, their OPS on the road and at home supports that they were not cheating, so.
You're right. You're right. The scoring. When Nick Castellanos, your new addition, is the only guy. Yeah, relax, guys. Is the only guy that can do anything on offense. Yeah, I guess that is a very fair point, Julie DeCaro. Check out her show next 2 hours right here on 670 The Score. I want to thank Mo Egger for jumping on tonight. Podcast up at 670thescore.com. I'll be back Saturday morning for early odds at 8:30. And then for Championship Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m. for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Danny Parkins. Keep it here for Julie. She's next. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.